I've got one for you, ladies and gentlemen. Where do you hear this? I call this the Bob Evans Revelation, named after a restaurant in Wytheville, Virginia. Maybe it's Wytheville, Virginia. I was headed down to South Carolina to teach at a conference in, where was that? Doesn't matter. Stopping overnight in Wytheville or Wytheville. Bob Evans is a popular restaurant in Ohio. I think you find it out east. You folks out west have probably never heard of it. There are none of them down here in Florida. It's a pity. My viewers in Poland and Germany and France and Australia will never have heard of it. There I was at Bob Evans restaurant. This must have been 1995. By myself, eating breakfast with my trusty scriptures in hand. Yes, this very copy. And I was studying the famous love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm reading all the characteristics on love because I am inspired, because I'm in Wytheville, to give a talk on love. Now, I'm always totally prepared before I leave home for a conference. But for some reason, maybe it was the bacon, maybe it was the butter melting on the homemade biscuits. I don't know, but something made me want to look at this chapter on love and get something new, something I hadn't seen before on the topic of love, which is, I believe, an inexhaustible topic. I love love. And I was going through the characteristics of love, what love is and what love is not. And I'm reading along. Join me here. I'm in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. It's kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not bragging. It's not puffed up. It's not indecent. It's not self-seeking. It's not incensed. It's not taking account of evil. I'm reading all of this. It's like, yes, warms my heart. I love love. It's not rejoicing in injustice, yet is rejoicing together with the truth. It's foregoing all. It's believing all, expecting all, enduring all. And I think I was eating a piece of bacon while I was reading this, and I stopped in mid-crunch when I got to is believing all. This really threw me for a loop. And this is why, because whenever we think of the subject of love, we always think about loving other people, right? I mean, we think that's exclusively this passage is used as a template for how we're to love others. Love your associate as yourself. But I get down to this is believing all, and I thought, how could that fit when loving another person? Believing all? I could see not being indecent, not being incensed. I could see being patient, being kind, but believing everything, believing everything another person says, believing all. I love you, therefore I believe all. It just didn't seem right to me. Something was amiss. Then it hit me. And I call it the Bob Evans Revelation. What if this passage is talking chiefly about loving God? Consider this. Paul says in chapter 13, verse 1, if I should be speaking in the languages of humans and of the messengers, yet should not have love, I have become a resounding copper or a clanging cymbal. When the people of that era were speaking in languages, even the language of the messengers, of the angels, who are they speaking to? Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping God. Yes? Yet if I should have no love, I'm a resounding copper, a clanging cymbal. I want to go down this list for you that we almost all have commonly associated with loving other people, and I want to apply it to God. Because we never do apply this to God. And I'm telling you, I need this. I mean, I love God. But don't you sometimes become impatient with God? Don't you sometimes become incensed? Now you're seeing where I'm going. This is amazing. Love is patient. Ho, 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 ho. All of you are out there right now going, oh, geez, Sender, yeah. I know, me too. If there's one thing I hear from the body of Christ, left and right, is why is God taking so long? This snatching away thing should have happened decades ago. What's God doing up there? What's he waiting for? I know. I'm guilty too. But if we love God, this is so sweet. We'll be patient with God. We can know all things. We could discover all mysteries. We could plumb the depths of all secrets given us by Paul. And sometimes we kind of forget that there's a God behind all of it. And do we really love that God? I mean, yes, we do. But let's look at these points just to see. Just to make sure. Love is patient. Ooh. Love is kind. Whoever thinks of being kind to God, and yet, I think that because we picture God as this distant, far-off deity, as removed. I mean, we know intellectually, theologically, that he does all things and he's in our life. But to speak kindly of him, to be kind to him. Hey, God, I mean, listen, this sounds ridiculous, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hey, God, good morning. How was your day? How was your night? Wow, that's powerful. To me, that's very powerful. Love is not jealous. The Jews have a real problem with this one because they hate when God goes outside of their circle to save Greeks, to save heathen, to save idol worshipers. They can't stand that. It's tempting to want to keep God all to yourself, to hoard his blessings. Christians have a real problem with this one. They're jealous of God when they hear that God is going to save all of humanity, and in fact has saved all of humanity at the cross. They don't like that news because they're jealous. They don't want the other person to be blessed. They want God all to themselves. That's not love. If you love God, you let him go. Let him go. Trust him that he's going to do the right thing. Love is not bragging. Ho ho. Bragging to God? Never, we never, never brag to God. God knows everything about us. He knows the good things we do. He knows our generosity. He knows our love for our fellow human beings. We don't have to tell him. We don't have to offer up our faith to him on a platter as if giving him something, as if there's something he needs that we can supply him with. Love is not puffed up, same thing. It's not indecent. Oh, I've said some indecent things to God. I've dared God to do a few things. I've spoken to him in ways that I would not speak to an associate with flesh and blood on. And I think I do it for the same reason people think that it's okay to steal from Walmart or to cheat Apple. Well, it's a big company. It doesn't matter. It's a big company. They're not going to miss this. It's okay to rob corporations, to cheat, to steal intellectual property from a movie company, to pirate a film. They're big. They're not going to miss it. That's indecent. Love is not self-seeking. It's not self-seeking. God bless me. Oh, self-seeking. It's all about me. Not in our world, but I see this mainly in the Christian world, but I'm running this past us because we're not perfect. My salvation, my needs, my peace, my this, my that, God's on it. He wants to hear our requests. Yes. Paul says, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God, which is superior to every frame of mind, shall be garrisoning your hearts in Christ Jesus. Love is not taking account of evil. Ooh, there's a big thing. You know, it's like we know that God does evil. He's not evil. He does evil. Scriptures, Isaiah 45, verse 7, God creates good and evil. That's what he says. That's on his resume. That's in his autobiography. He created evil. He does evil. Evil simply means to break. That's the literal meaning in the Hebrew and the Greek, to break something. It's not a sin to do evil. For humans, yes, we could do evil and it could possibly be a sin. But if I break a window, that's evil because I'm breaking something. But if I'm doing it to rob a house, then it's a sin. If I'm doing it to get in the house and save somebody from a fire, then it's not evil. But God never sins, but he does do evil, and we should not be reckoning this against him. In other words, taking account of it. It's like God's doing it for us, not to us, as I like to say. And I need to say it. Why do I say that all the time? Because I need to hear it myself. Love is not rejoicing in injustice. None of us are guilty of that, I don't think. We don't, you know what? Oh, yeah, maybe. We see somebody get whacked and we think, oh, good, they got what's coming to them. See some bad person get their just desserts according to our sense of justice, then we are loving that. Well, we love justice. Let me put it this way. Yes, we love justice. If the person really does have it coming to them, then yes, that does make us happy. It's injustice that we do not rejoice in. And if God were to eternally torment any human being who was born apart from their wills into this veil of sin and death, and because they were born to a crack whore mother, or because their father was absent, or because they were beaten by their father, or because their parents were alcoholics, and to send that person to eternal torment forever, Christians, this is for you. That is rejoicing in injustice, and you don't love God. That's not loving God. That's rejoicing in injustice. It's unjust to condemn someone eternally to an eternity of burning torment. Excuse me, I'm still sick, as you can tell. It's unjust to condemn somebody to eternal torment who you yourself locked up in stubbornness. Romans 11:32. But we know God locks up altogether in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. That's also Romans 11:32. How convenient is that? Love is rejoicing together with the truth. Ah, yes, the truth. Who is the author of all truth? God. And we rejoice in that. Love is foregoing all. Love is saying, Lord, I will give it up for you. This doesn't apply to humans either. This doesn't apply to our fellow human beings. We don't forego everything for somebody else. You don't give away the farm. I mean, the scripture says, love your associate as yourself. But for God, you can't trust another human being to forego all. This is love toward God. Toward God, we give him our life and we say what we have is not ours. We didn't obtain it. Everything we got from you. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I forgot my little spray, my little throat spray. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. This is definitely speaking of God, I think. Foregoing all, we forego everything. We say, Lord, this is what we want, this is what we want, this is what we want, but thy will, not my will, be done. That's the ultimate love of God, is to trust him with that. You can't trust human beings with that. Hell no. But we can trust God with that. Forgo all. I'll forgo my dreams, my desires, my hopes, all my aspirations, and I will give it to you, God, because you're wise and you know what to do with it. Wow, that is really good. And here we come to what tripped me up, eating that piece of bacon. Excuse me, eating that piece of bacon at Bob Evans. Love is believing all. Oh, yes. Believing everything that comes out of the mouth of God. Everything that comes out of his mouth is golden, and it's been recorded for us. Each word has been tried 7 times. This is why I am adamant about reading and teaching out of a good translation, because I want to know what God said. Why do I want to know what God said? Because I want to believe him. More than anything, I want to believe him. I want to believe what he says about me, yes, and I want to believe what he says about the world and the universe at large. I want to believe what he says about me concerning my justification, concerning his conciliation to me through the cross of Christ. All the promises he's made to me, I don't want to doubt them for a second. Love is believing all. Love toward God, love toward God. This is loving God. It's expecting all. This is so great. Can this be said of a human? This is another thing. I think I spit up my orange juice at Bob Evans when I got to this. Expecting all? That's cruel to expect all from another human being. What do you expect out of me, somebody says to you? What do you expect out of me? All. I expect everything out of you, everything. You're going to be disappointed. But God loves it when you expect everything from him. Lord, I expect you to take care of this business, take care of my business, take care of the world's business. Love is expecting all. God loves that. God loves that. What are you going to do? Pitch him a baseball he can't hit? Expect him to do something that he's going to fail at? No, love is expecting all and is enduring all. And we pray for more endurance. Love does not shake the fist at God, although we've all done it. Well, I'll speak for myself. I've done it. But that's not really, well, I guess it is enduring. It's just kind of complaining. It's definitely taking account of evil, and love does not take account of evil. No, it doesn't. Love is patient. I have been impatient with God. This passage, applying it to God, this is revolutionary in the way I am going to think about God, the way I try to think about God. I'm just refreshing myself with this as I teach it to you for the first time. Refreshing myself with this wonderful truth. And that when we love God like this, read this on your own and apply this to you, loving God. When we apply this and send it Godward, I think that it can't help to spill over into how we treat others and how we love others. In this, in verse 8, love is never lapsing.